Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. Do we sound unemotional?
Do we sound unwell?
We might be a little bit, but we're okay.
Yeah, welcome everyone to...
I feel like we have some... They're not new listeners, but like they've binged us.
Yeah.
And so
they're maybe caught up.
Yes, they're caught up, which is wild that they've gotten 5 years of our life in maybe like a few months.
I mean, if we think about it, wait, today's our anniversary.
Oh, it is. Yes, I posted that.
So 5 years?
5 years ago was when we officially announced to our people, which I'm so embarrassed by the post. I was like, what were we thinking?
We had to let the people know.
Yeah, that we were going to do this podcast.
So you know what?
Season 12 is what had happened in Grey's.
Okay. So what is wild is, holy shit, does that mean that John and I have been together for like 5.5 years?
You weren't together in the beginning. We had right. a whole season of...
So it's only been 5 years?
Yeah.
So John and I have been together 4.5 years, almost 5 years.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, because we were talking about that recently.
Your birthday post was your first... The birthday podcast episode we did was... Within our first year of podcasting. Right.
So what's wild to me, the point I'm trying to make is that there wasn't much content without John. So people have like literally binged our relationship.
For some reason, I feel like though, okay, it's kind of like when you think about being a kid, how like summers as a kid last forever, but mm-hmm. the older you get, they don't. I feel like the first year of podcasting is very memorable to me, but I feel like... Yeah, like I just feel like, and I also feel like you being single lasted longer than it did.
Well, it's because me being single in our friendship lasted longer than
maybe, yeah.
than us podcasting. I mean,
I'd been
going through it, you know.
Yeah,
and then
because John said, "I love Bree because," but that
and
was
we lost our shit,
right? But you had just had the night at the opera yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Because no, we were together.
Okay.
It was shortly after that that I told him I loved him first. I told him about, I brought this up the other day. I said it at a bar at the Meanwhile, if you're from Grand Rapids. I had a few. And I didn't say, I love you. I said, I have so much love for you.
Oh, that feels like a fancy way of saying that.
Well, because I think I was too vulnerable to say, like, yeah, I love yeah. you. Also, why did I choose to say
why
it at a bar?
Why did I think you said it in a window, looking out at the moon at his apartment?
Oh, no, that was our first...
vulnerable
moment. Yeah, I know. That didn't happen. No. You're thinking of our first like actual date and we came home and we danced to Hamilton.
Maybe, yeah. I thought there was something to do with, maybe it's just that in the morning John drank coffee and looks out that window.
There was one night that we did sit in that chair and yes. it was raining out.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember you very much told me that story.
Yeah. We don't do shit like that anymore. Okay. The point is, I said, I have so much love for you. I'm pretty sure you said thank you. And I was like, is mortifying. And so I ran, my friends were there. I like ran outside. I like got super worked up. I almost started crying. And my friend was like, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Like, just go back inside. And I went back inside and he was like, I love you too. And then I was like, oh, thank God. And then
the drama of it all.
We walked home. It was a snowstorm and we walked back to his apartment and no one was on the roads. And so I made us walk in the middle of the roads and stop like every so often to kiss. And we brought it up the other day because we were on that road and I was laughing so hard that I made him do that. He was like, yeah, I remember like I just wanted to get home. Like it was cold.
That sounds, I love that. I can imagine. That's romantic, walking down the street, no cars, snow, yeah, a fresh snow.
Just said I love you.
Very Gilmore Girls of yeah. you.
But then we don't do that anymore. We don't leave our houses and we drive each other insane.
This weekend, well, which you already know, this is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive episodes. Right. You know about our Patreon. It's patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can get bonus episodes, Zoom hangouts, Facebook group. It's really cool. Check it out. Okay, back to that conversation.
Yeah.
This weekend, Jake had wanted to go out with like a new friend of his on Saturday. And
were you sad?
Well, no, I was invited. It was like this, someone in his academy and his wife.
Okay.
And I always think that I'm like outgoing. And then when things are presented to me like that, I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't need any new friends. But I also, we had gone out for a friend's birthday that afternoon. And I was like, I can only go out once in a yeah. day. Like, and it's true. I was tired. And so it ended up falling through. And I got to play Hogwarts Legacy for like 5 hours.
Which I'm sure was a dream come true.
And then we like watched movies on Saturday night and like to him, I was like, are you bored? Like, do you wish you were out? And meanwhile, I was like, this is my dream. Like,
he asked you if you
were? No, I asked him.
Was he bored?
He didn't really answer.
So he was.
I was just like, this is ideal. Like, I have become the person that, like, I would much prefer to be sweatpants, sweatshirt in my home. I don't know. I just, the thought of being in a bar in tight pants, because I would always be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Maybe we just have to change what we wear to the bar.
That one night I told you, if I was wearing sneakers, no underwear, baggy sweatpants, no bra, no sweatshirt, I'd stay all night.
I think that's the problem, is we're still trying to dress like we're in our 20s and we're not. So we need to.
A sensible khaki.
And that's where we really.
Yeah. I need to dress like Adam Sandler.
Yeah. And then you'll be like ready and roaring to go. And also it just has to be the right time. Like, we can't do that every weekend anymore.
Or at night, super late. I can't do late.
Yeah.
You have more stamina than I do.
I do, but
you are almost 2 years younger than me.
And also I'm just a night owl. Like, I always have been. I get my energy at night. It's hard for me to go to bed. Mornings are really tough for me. Maybe if I went to bed earlier, they wouldn't be. But even when I go to bed, it doesn't matter. I don't like mornings. I'm a night person. So
I've also just reached this level of comfort at home where I have new underwear. It's not like they're too small, but like the underwear just are too much clinging to me. So like
maybe just go a size up.
No, I am. They're like. There's give. It's the Skims. There's like fits everybody. They're so stretchy. There's no indentation.
Why don't you just stop wearing underwear?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I do. At home, I wear my baggy Old Navy sweatpants. You have the same ones.
Yes.
Those vintage high waist or whatever with no underwear. And that is the level of comfort that I need.
I think you can pull that off at a bar.
It's true.
Just put some mascara on.
Just that.
That will transform anything. I have to tell you, when you were talking about like social anxiety,
like just now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Weren't you?
Kind of. I was like, go on.
Did you say social anxiety?
Maybe
my brain went there.
It's fine. Yeah. You interpreted me not wanting new friends.
A little bit of social anxiety. Mm-hmm. So there's this TikTok last night. I saved it. I'll show it to you afterwards. But do you remember Montel, the like, Montel Williams, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was like a talk show. Like,
oh, yes.
Sally, Jesse, Raphael and stuff. Yeah. Well, remember how they used to have like psychics and stuff on those?
Always.
Yeah. And there was like the blonde haired psychic lady. I can't remember her name. Doesn't
can't wait
matter.
To see
anyway,
where this
girl.
I'm not following.
This girl is like up at the mic and she's like asking for like advice from the site. You know how they pull the crowd. She's like, hi, I have like really bad social anxiety. And the psychic stops her and she's like, well, oh, that's because you had a past life where they said that you were a witch. And in order for you to live, you had to name two other people. Name two other people who were actually the witches, but then they killed all of you. So no wonder you have social anxiety.
That was her past life?
Then the TikTok ended.
What do you think that girl's doing now?
I don't know, but the girl was like, oh, okay. Like,
wow. Do you think you were a witch? I think you're not. I think your next life, you're going to be a full-blown witch. I think this one, like you're working. You haven't been a witch and come back.
Yeah. To witch status. Yeah. I think maybe not yet. In a past life, though, I did some energy work once that I was told that this friend who I'm no longer friends with, and the reason we have a riff in this life is because he was like a snake oil salesman and he gave me like a bad medicine tincture. Yeah. And he knew it was bad and he charged me a lot of money and I got really sick, but I didn't die.
So that someone in your current life that you're no longer friends with was also in your past life.
Which is very common. We're often married to our siblings in our past lives.
Oh God.
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like one of our friends, I think, was married to her brother in a past life and they were on like a pirate ship together.
Where do I find these things?
Not I don't
from
know.
The it same can... energy person that I did with.
Yeah. It
she
random...
told you that?
Yeah. Randomly like.
I did not get enough out of my $40.
Well, you need to do it again. Some random past life shit showed up. I set an intention on working on these one relationships.
Oh.
And she was like, oh, there's some past life shit with them. And then
that
we tapped
would be
into
fun to
it.
Do.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask, what magnet did you use?
Oh, I used the one from like Nevada that has a UFO on it that says, I believe.
That's perfect. End of story. Yeah. That's really good.
Anyway, listeners, if you're interested in energy work, email us.
I wanted to look while we're podcasting.
Good.
I posed a question today on the Instagram asking what our listeners would like to see from us. Because I was like, it's been 5 years. Let me just read some.
Okay.
Craft and home decorating.
What? Like on the Instagram?
No, or maybe on the, like, they want to
see it on the podcast.
Yeah. Podcast focusing on one character and arc through their lifespan on Grey's.
Oh, okay. Not love a bad your idea.
New Amsterdam. I don't watch that show. Is that an ABC show?
I'm not sure about that. We'll have to look into
Private Practice or Start Over with Grey's.
Can you imagine if we're like, and we're back to the pilot episode.
Also, I will say there is a great Private Practice rewatch podcast, yes. Beach Houses and Babies.
If
so
you want to listen to that.
They are not a spinoff. They are their own unique thing, but I like to think of them as like they're like related to us because we love them.
And we've
them personally.
Yeah, and we've been on their podcast.
Yes. Okay, would love your thoughts on other shows, shorter series, would also just a friendship pod.
Oh.
Should we talk about like all the times we've fought?
Oh, that would be really hard to do.
It'd be painful.
I
couldn't do it. I couldn't go back there.
I mean, you know, vulnerable. Like Esther Perel.
I could cry thinking
about it. Esther Perel does like one-off couples therapy.
Yeah.
We could do it with us, but I would be mediating, which wouldn't make any sense.
I like that. Friends or Sex and the City? You two are phenomenal. Sex and the City, already done.
We have another good friend of the pod. It's called Shortcomings.
Did you also forget? My name, my brain couldn't think of the name and I looked to you.
Oh, no, I knew what it was. Oh. Yeah. It's called Shortcomings. And they, I think, are currently in season
five. I just saw it.
Five. Out. Yeah.
Also, I would say I don't watch Sex and the City. I just never really got to it. But I always listen to their episodes that have to, like, their mail, the ones where they, like, answer questions or, like, they do some Gilmore Girl one-offs. Yeah. I love those.
Yeah. So, they're great.
Gilmore Girls podcast.
Gilmore Guys did it.
They did it. If you keep the podcast going, I would love to see/hear you guys talk about it live. Like, not on Instagram.
You imagine them seeing me right now? I'm unwell today.
Please review documentaries. It would be hilarious. Documentaries are very sad.
But we would probably be like, this is bullshit.
Fuck this call.
This is fucking stupid.
Anything.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pen15 podcast says your dear sister.
Oh, yeah. She really wants, she has brought it up to me so many times.
That is the closest thing so far that is something I would do.
Yeah.
Just like a quick little right-hand turn.
Yeah.
Write some more fan fiction about Grey's.
Okay.
I would like you to start doing that. Literally any pod content, the Abby and Bree show would suit me just fine. That's very kind.
That is really nice.
Anything? I'm sure I'm not the only follower who will listen to y'all regardless. I don't even care what it is. I just need more Abby and Bree. A special spinoff where you only talk about seasons 17 through 19? Absolutely not. That's Amal. She was in our Zoom the last time. Amal. It's just a joy to keep hearing from you guys. Live show, life updates if you feel comfortable. Then I liked this one. Station 19 rewatch? It's not as good, LOL. No!
No, we haven't even, or rewatch, we haven't even watched it.
This is a Station 19 podcast, though. The second episode is literally all Station 19.
It's true.
So anyways, that's
all. Well, I love all those.
Happy 5 years.
Reaching out. Happy 5 years.
What is Station 19? What year is anniversary?
Yeah, the fifth is Wood. Good old wood.
Okay.
Why didn't you get me some wood?
I have a ton of lumber in the side of my yard that's been there for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll build something.
Okay. The modern gift is silverware.
Silverware, not silver.
Yeah, silverware.
Not like wares of silver.
No, silverware. Which mine has like been, it's discolored. So I'll take some new silverware for our 5 year anniversary.
We recently downgraded our silverware. Like, we were like, why do we have 5 sets? And I said, Jake, I need a lot of little spoons.
Yeah, I get it.
But now we only have 1 set.
I thought you were going to say 1 spoon.
1 spoon.
You guys take turns.
Well, there is a teaspoon, not the measuring teaspoon. And maybe it's a sugar spoon. I think it's used. Like, I think that's what it was for. It's my favorite spoon to use.
Do you use it with coffee?
I use it with everything. I like choose it. It's like smaller and has little like lines on it.
Uh-huh.
It's my favorite spoon. It's perfect for desserts.
Oh, wow.
There's only one of them.
And it's yours.
Yeah. So, okay. I feel like we're just going to need to
Next, so our sixth anniversary is iron. So be thinking about that.
Iron.
You could get me like a cool iron sculpture for the garden.
You need more sculptures for your garden?
Nope. I don't need a single one.
I would love to continue once a year. I've never gotten you one, but I could start. John would be livid if the more sculptures appeared.
Yeah, he would be.
But the garden is your realm. I feel like anything beyond the rocks is yours. Inside the rocks is John's.
That's true. I know we have to get into the episode, but I briefly want to say I did a garden walk yesterday looking at all my things coming up. And stuff is coming up.
Yeah.
And like
my tulips are popping.
Stuff I planted last fall, like survived. And I'm like clearing the leaves and stuff. And I have plants going in the basement right now, little seedlings that I'm going to work on later today. And so we're almost fucking there. It's sunny today. We're almost there.
I am afraid to do a walkthrough of my backyard because poop. I've not cleaned up poop once.
Yeah.
Actually, in the summer, we really don't either, but Jake mows it, which that sounds disgusting, but it actually like...
Probably just like, is it helpful for the
grass?
That's
what Jake claims. Anyways, there's so much moldy poop back there.
Yeah, that on like a really nice, coming up, you're going to have to get out there.
You got to do it when it's cold. Otherwise, the poop is... You need the poop to be frozen. So,
oh, well, then you got to do it maybe today.
It's pretty... Yeah, I know. But I waited too long last year and it was just mush. It's got like icicle poops are the easiest to pick up.
I don't know why it's grossing me out.
It grosses me out. My yard, and like I'm just looking at your grass, which I know you guys do a ton of work on, and yours looks so even and nice. Mine is so, I need to take it all off. Like I'm like, should
we
just.
That's what we did. We literally took all of our grass
out.
Did
you spray it to kill it or pull it up?
John rented a thing from Home Depot to like
till it?
Rototill our yard. And then.
So when you rototill it, do you then also have to pull the clumps of grass out of that rototill situation?
No, he like. Pulled it up and then rolled it. He like rolled the grass.
The old grass?
Yeah. And then he rolled out new like mulch or not mulch.
See, yeah, like sod.
Sod.
I wouldn't, you did sod because you're wedding. I would just do seeds.
Yeah. He could help you. I mean, or at least give you instructions on what he did. I came home from my bachelorette party and there was zero grass back there. Him and his dad had rolled up grass, which was insane.
I would love to do that.
And then every year though too, he like puts a little like soil down and like,
because we have a lot of weird grass. All of our grass there's just so many different kinds.
Yeah, so you gotta,
I don't want to do that. Can I pay someone to do that?
Oh, I'm sure you could pay someone.
It's probably so much.
Yeah.
Does John want to like do some Saturday work?
I mean, if you want to pay him, you could probably pay him less than what
I'd pay him, whatever asking price he does.
Be like,
I'd bring him lemonade.
He'd be like, I don't know, get me some beer.
No, we're too old for that now.
I know.
We're not going to help someone move just for a pizza.
No,
I'm
never
need
helping
some chiropractic
any.
Care.
I'm never helping anyone move ever again.
I'm going to need some chiropractic care. Okay.
Okay.
Today we're talking about season 18, episode 4, 5, and 6. With a little help from my friends, Bottle Up and Explode, and Every Day is a Holiday with you. I will start the monologues. Surgeons
like in Emperor's New Groove where hit him on the head where
I don't remember that part, but I'm sad.
Yzma says that to Grog. That's what it just sounded
hit
like.
Him on the head. Speaking of Yzma, speaking of Emperor's New Groove, I was literally watch this. I want to just prove, I know you'd know I'm not lying, but I was watching David Spade speak about Adam Sandler. I'm gonna show you on TikTok when I came in. Look, there he is.
It's very, very commendable.
David Spade.
Yeah.
So that's the full circle. Okay. Surgeons like to believe they're the center of the universe, that their million-dollar hands are the only thing that matters. You only need a scalpel and a patient to use it on. No one else. I used to believe it too, but that was before I had kids. Truth is, from the time your patient first gets sick to the time they're lying on your table, a team of internists, specialists, and nurses have already interacted with that patient more than you ever will. I've had to operate alone before in circumstances I would have never thought possible. By now, I know what I'm capable of, how much I can handle on my own. And you know what? I can handle a lot, but that doesn't mean I'm going to turn down an assist from another pair of skilled hands. Because at the end of the day, just because I can do surgery alone doesn't mean I have to. Knowing someone else has your back, it's everything. Meredith Gray.
In a recent experiment, scientists observed that a single human cells in petri dish will actually seek each other out and adhere to each other to form new connections. When cells team up, they become stronger. They thrive and evolve and eventually become something bigger than their single cells ever could have been. There's a glare on my screen. We are an extension of ourselves. Just like them, we are programmed to find others, to reach out for one another and find nourishment and love. Like ourselves, we're not meant to be alone. So once we find each other, try not to let go. Meredith Grey.
Scientists have published studies about how the practice of gratitude improves mental and physical health. A daily gratitude practice reduces depression and increases happiness. Gratitude enhances empathy, which helps build positive relationships. It even lowers blood pressure. If giving thanks is so good for you, why do so many people struggle doing it? Why do we only designate one day a year to give thanks? After everything we've been through, why not celebrate the good every day? Hug your loved ones, smile at a stranger, choose kindness. What's the worst that could happen? Someone might do it in return. Meredith Grey.
Shotgun workup, we have Tova Friedman, seizure.
Roy Davis, pulmonary fibrosis, lung cancer.
Nikki, pregnancy.
Farouk Shami Hunt, constructive pericarditis, dilated cardiomyopathy.
What is this name?
Venetius
Velo, pulmonary fibrosis.
Amy Sassolato, pulmonary fibrosis.
Victoria Hughes, electrical burns, myocardial injury, arrhythmias.
Pat Aquino, penetrating abdominal wound, full thickness facial burns, open book pelvic fracture.
Aaliyah, pregnancy.
Ashley Wright, pregnancy, appendicitis.
Noah Young, pulmonary fibrosis, pneumothorax.
Here we go, diving in. Oh, also post-op today, which is only for our patrons. We're going to be talking about Amelia and Link's Thanksgiving.
That's right.
And their sexcapades. Okay. With Richard in charge of the residency program, he is excited to announce his new teaching ideology, the Weber Method. The Weber Method has surgical residents doing surgeries on their own until the crucial part of the surgery, in which an attending will jump in and do that work and then let the resident close. His hope is that this will give the residents learning opportunities as well as help with the physician shortage. Bailey is initially against it, but after its first successful day, she gives in.
Megan is still in Seattle and has Dr. Hayes check up on Farouk, who hasn't been doing well. We learn that he has a heart condition and will need surgery. She asks to keep this private, as she doesn't want her brother to know yet. During surgery, Megan goes into the OR and holds Farouk's hand during the duration of the surgery, despite Winston and Cormac thinking that's a bad idea. When she finds out he's going to be okay, she breaks down in the scrub room. Cormac tells Owen what has been happening with his sister, and Owen and Teddy tell Megan that Farouk and her are family and they are never leaving them. On Thanksgiving, Farouk begins coding and Teddy spends over an hour trying to bring him back to life with CPR. Cormac ends up putting him on ECMO and Farouk has to go on the transplant list.
Hunt goes with Noah to a meeting with other veterans who are planning on going to Washington to bring their medical claims about the VA to Congress. The leader of this, Roy, ends up passing out during the meeting, and after a risky surgery to try and give him more time, he passes away. Noah is upset at Owen for getting involved in all of this and blames him for Roy's death. Noah shows back up at the hospital choking on his own blood and not doing well at all. His wife has a breakdown in the hallway with the help of Bailey, and Owen watches over his son and keeps him playing video games. Owen tells Noah that he has taken over Roy's work and wants to figure out a way to take care of everyone. Noah asks Owen how much longer until he dies. Owen tells him that it will be soon.
Addison and Amelia are continuing to work with Tova and talking about their time during quarantine and how they coped. Ultimately, Addison leaves feeling incredibly proud of Amelia for the way she handled her relationship with Link, and she tells her that she's grown up.
In a major Station 11 is a different show and book. Station 19 crossover episode, the doctors at Grace Sloan and the firefighters deal with the aftermath of a pipe explosion. Vic Hughes comes into the hospital first and is treated for being electrocuted when we find out that Miller was hit by a second explosion and died. Miller has a new young daughter named Prue, who Ben agreed would take in if anything ever happened to him. He had never mentioned this to Bailey before, but when little Prue walks into the hospital, Bailey gives her a hug and tells her she's going to be okay.
Back in Minnesota, Meredith brings on Tom Krasick to her team of neurosurgeons. David Hamilton is upset about this because Tom once slept with his daughter. With the advice from Nick, Meredith tells David that it's up to her who she brings on to the team and that he needs to deal with that. Kai learns more about Amelia's life and finds out that she is single. Meredith planned on heading home to Seattle for Thanksgiving, but due to winter weather advisory, her flight was delayed. She was on the phone with Nick, who was supposedly headed to that godforsaken cabin, when she heard a knock on the door. It's Nick. He turned around and headed back to the hotel to spend the day with Meredith.
And again, we'll talk about this more in post-op, but Link and Amelia end up home alone with all four kids on Thanksgiving. He helps her cook the turkey and they end up having a great night. They begin to make out at the end of the night and Amelia tells him again that nothing has changed for her. He decides to have sex with her anyways.
All righty, first notes.
Okay, we have the same first note. I was like, are Richard and Catherine talking about sex?
Well, I was like, Catherine and Richard, what are they talking about? Sex or something else? No, I think it's sex. Like, it was very confusing.
Yeah, I was like, and then I was like, is this trying to be a reference to his teaching method?
I know.
Or was it that they had really good sex?
I don't know.
Yeah. So we're left to be unknown. She straight up straddled him.
I know.
Do you think he's nervous to make out with the Debbie Allen?
The Debbie Allen.
She's kind of a legend. But
he's the James Pickens Jr.
True. Okay.
Should we just talk about the Weber method first?
Well, actually, I just have some quick overall thoughts.
Oh, okay.
In general, I feel like what makes Grey's good is for so many things, there's like often like a big buildup. Uh-huh. Like there's this thing and you have to wait forever and then tension builds and it finally happens and blah, blah, blah. In relation to like Meredith and Nick, I just realized it's episode 5 and they're making out. Mm-hmm. Like there was no tension around this relationship. It just like happened. Mm-hmm. I just feel like Weber's taking over the thing. He tries this Weber method and I know there is a problem with it later. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. But I just feel like there's like everything in this show, these episodes, it's just not, there's nothing building.
Except for Owen breaking down and.
Oh yeah. But then he like did it. Like he was having, I thought there would be more to his, I'm jumping a lot. I thought there'd be more to his PTSD, but then it like.
I think the point you're trying to make is there doesn't seem to be like any real conflict that spans over episodes.
Yeah.
And so it's just like these really like one-off stories that like don't build into anything.
And the conflicts that I'm missing are relationship conflicts.
Right.
Like I want to see like Meredith and Nick have so much tension before they finally kiss. Like, yes, there were good patient storylines and like there's the Alzheimer's trial and all of that in the early Grays, but I also feel like we were building relationships constantly.
Yeah.
And now it's like the same old people. And so
right.
There's nothing to build. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if like, not to talk too much about new Grays.
No, but if that's why it's feeling okay.
That's why it feels a little bit better. If you can just get over the fact that like they're none of the people from the original, whatever. It's just because it's like new people trying to build, like there's tension of interns and sex and relationships and stuff.
Yeah. I think so, because it's like at this point, like I know everything about Owen there is to know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. And I think there is something like to figuring out about characters. The arcs have all happened.
Yeah.
Like there's really nothing more I could learn about Meredith Grey.
Right. Well, that. Yeah.
And she's gone.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Sorry.
No.
Weber method.
Since we brought up Meredith, let's just talk about her and Nick. I want to get to my note about them kissing.
The restaurant?
And yeah, why do they seem so awkward? And then I hated all those zoomed out angles of them kissing. It was just like zoom out, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in. And they were just like everything. The thing is, like, I realized when they get, like, I don't care.
It's vanilla. It feels very like, or lukewarm.
Even their like sex scene felt like very, and I get it that you have to choreograph a sex scene you are, in order to make sure.
I bet in early Grays there was no intimacy coordinator. I bet now there is.
Yeah, which and is that's good. What it felt like.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I feel like there can be an intimacy coordinator, but then it like.
It feels natural.
It feels natural. Like, did you see him put his hand on her ass?
Yeah.
And I was like, they told him to do that. Yeah. Like, it was so. Like,
yes.
And let me gently do this. Like, if you were going to do that, there'd be some intention behind it.
Yeah, that's like once upon a time I told Jake, I was like, I wish you would like touch the back of my head when we kissed. You know, like, and now I can feel his hand go, I go, fuck that. You are only doing that because I told you to.
Yeah, and you're not like.
It's choreographed.
Yes.
It's not natural instinct. Yeah, their sex scene, I felt like I should have felt things for it. And instead, I just felt like it was like, it's too long. Like, I needed it to turn off.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that's about.
And like, we haven't seen a lot of like Mare's skin in a while. And it felt
we haven't. You're
and
right.
I don't know. It just felt like, oh, look at my back. Like, it was just like, I don't know. Nothing felt good about it.
Yeah.
It didn't
feel. I'm surprised she did it. Like, to be honest.
Yeah. It didn't feel like those like. It felt too serious too. Because I feel like a lot of the time when like Mare and Dare would like. They would like be giggling.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It would just be like, oh, we're.
Can you imagine having sex that seriously? I can't.
No. We'd like let each other into the bedroom. And then like, I mean, like, Yeah, it's like sometimes it can get quite serious when you're in it, but we're talking like very beginning.
Yes,
kissing,
right when it's starting.
And they were just like, I don't know, something about it felt really, really choreographed. And again, I understand
yeah.
that we want actors to be safe and feel safe, but like, do better.
I also like their relationship still isn't like believable to me. Mm-hmm. What would have been better is like somehow he's at Grace Sloan. They end up in an elevator together and they have a quick makeout before the door opens. Like yeah. something about them, like they had all the time in the world and they were alone. And that's not normally the kind of like scene in Grace. I feel like it's always like an on-call room, a here.
Yeah.
And there's just seems like there's everyone's just having a lot of relaxed sex at their house with no controversy.
Yeah. And
I need them in a car with Bailey knocking on the window.
Yes. And I don't know. Like everything about leading up to it too, like the conversation that I hate his fucking car. I don't know why it drives me crazy. It looked like it was nighttime where he was driving and it was like bright out where Meredith was. And then all of a sudden he's at right. the door. Like it didn't make any sense. But like, I don't know, like him talking about like the finger and then like, I don't, the way they were drinking the wine. I was like, why is she in her jammies?
Yeah, at that
like,
restaurant. Yeah, the only thing that I liked.
Restaurant.
Didn't it look like a brunch, a fancy brunch place?
It did, but it was her own
room. The only part that I laughed at is when he was like, you can keep me company. And she doesn't say anything. Yeah. He's like, that's a great, like.
You're like really bad at this. Yeah.
Yeah, because that felt true to Meredith.
Because also I feel like if. I would like be on FaceTime with my kiddos for like a while. I know she was for a minute, but like she's like, oh, I can't be there. And it's just like with Nick the rest
Zola
of the time.
Zola being so like.
I can't. I can't even go there. I won't even go there.
She feels like little Ellen Pompeo.
Yeah.
Like yeah. her just, I was like, no kid is actually saying that.
Yeah.
And no. like the kid is right. She's not wrong.
Yeah. No.
Like, Thanksgiving is fucked up. But yeah. like. I don't know. The way that was written just drove me insane.
Yeah.
Nick is not doing anything for me.
No. And I think we were both trying to come in this second watch of this season and be like, okay, can we connect to Nick and Meredith? And I just can't, like, I don't feel like there is any chemistry between them.
I also think I can't connect to Meredith.
I think that's
Meredith
a big part of it.
Meredith doesn't feel like a real character to me anymore.
No, and like her being back and forth, like she just doesn't seem, I think you made a really good point. I think it was last week that like she is totally fine being gone like 4 days a week away from her children. And then all of a sudden, like next season, she like has to move across the country with Zola.
Right.
Like
it doesn't equate.
It doesn't make sense.
I also just like, I think Mare shines the most when she is amongst cast members from like when she's with Bailey, when she's with Richard, even if she was, why doesn't she ever have scenes with Teddy?
Well, also though, in that scene where she's talking about the Weber method afterwards, I felt like she wasn't acting at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking about this. Like I would do a whole scene. Why aren't her and Owen having some sort of, he was her best friend's husband.
I know.
Like, I feel like Meredith is never with any of those original characters.
I am wondering if she is too expensive.
She's just over it.
Like yeah. she's like, she makes so much fucking money that like on shooting days, they can't have
right.
her interacting that long with those other people.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. And her in Minnesota is doing nothing for me. Like at the research facility, like the thing of like bringing Tom in and then like David Hamilton being not a good patient. Like it's just, that storyline is so boring to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I don't mean to be like such a bummer about these episodes, but it's like, to me, honestly, painful to watch these. It's like 3 hours of like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I love Grace. Like I just put on season 3 two nights ago and just laid in bed and watched that. But like this shit just feels exactly that. It feels like shit.
Yeah.
Just straight up shit.
I'm trying to think of like times in this episode that felt like, because I think what, it's like
nothing.
We can call out little moments that feel like, oh, that was good. And I just feel like a lot of my notes used to be like funny quotes that yeah. people said. And now like a lot of my things are things I hate. Like, like Owen calling that guy Sergeant.
don't even get me started on that. Like episode 5, I have like some notes. I'm like, oh, it felt like a bomb. Like just explaining what's going on. And then one of my notes is everything feels ridiculous in this episode. Like everything.
Yeah. I actually felt more feelings about the Station 19 characters than I did.
Sure. But still, I felt like, oh, you know, okay. I have a note about this. Okay. I feel like they do this way more in these newer seasons than they did in old ones. They do so much slow-mo. Like, I feel like they never used to do
that. Was there slow-mo when Miller came out of the ambulance or something?
Yeah, and like, and they're like, oh, no. And like, Bailey's like, oh, God. Like, they're, I don't, like, don't you feel like in old seasons?
It's like a choice, a directorial choice.
That they, and it makes it, to me, feel very cheesy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing about episode 5 that actually like got me more than anything is that they cast the cutest child I've ever seen in my entire life.
Prue? Oh, I know.
You actually read your note about Bailey because it's perfect. You said
I said, honestly, I want Bailey to mother me.
Her hugging her and saying it's okay, baby, and like whatever. That is the cutest child I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. When Prue came out, I was like, oh, shit.
She's like a little, she looks like a full-grown woman, but small. I like, know. Oh, she's so cute.
And her she, the way face, she just like hugs Bailey.
Yeah.
Oh.
I actually, that was the one, that whole aspect of the show was the one part I got. If remote hint of a GGB is Bailey saying, like, I would love her and mother her and do her hair and I do this. And then if her grandparents came and took her away from me, like, that would break me.
And then the next episode, they did.
They did?
Yeah, she mentions to Richard the next episode that, like, the grandparents came and took Prue. And I know she ends up, they end up with
It's Prue. Probably on Station 19, that moment, I assume.
Yeah.
Also, it's crazy to me. I'm sure that this Miller, they showed him dying on Station 19. But the fact that they don't show Vic finding out that he died on the show that they belong on is crazy to me. That'd be like Derek died and we don't see Meredith's reaction.
Yeah.
We'd see it on a spinoff.
Although there have, I wonder if they put that scene in Station 19.
I doubt it.
Because they have done that before with Private Practice where it's like a similar-ish scene, like, but it's on the other show. So like they're at Grace Sloan, but it's Private Practice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
So I wonder if they did that. I don't know. But I didn't. I don't care.
I don't like seeing all these firefighters die. Also, considering Jake is currently in the Academy. He also made me watch this movie from the 90s called Backdraft, which has Robert De Niro, some other, I don't know. It's very 90s. And so many of them die. And I said, why are we watching this?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
I think that a lot, they have really, it's okay.
Good insurance.
That was the least helpful. I think that they are really.
It's going to be okay.
Good. It's all right. They have really great training nowadays and great equipment. So we're.
That's true. They weren't wearing like ventilator masks.
Yeah.
Like in the smoke. And Jake goes, that's how they all got cancer.
Yeah.
I was like, cool.
Yeah, and they have, like, crazy protocols now of, like, you can only be in there this
and, like, what
of time.
They were wearing was wild also back then.
It's just, it's a lot. Hats. There's a lot more safety involved in it now.
Yeah, also, it was just wild. I was like, everyone was lighting on fire in that movie. And all I can think is, like, why do you want to do this job?
Also, yeah, that is wild.
Just lighting on fire sounds like the worst way to go.
Yeah. Also, it does seem like Station 19 people die left and right. And like insane things happen all the time.
So Grays, though. Think about early Grays.
That's true.
Plane crashes.
So there was this pipe explosion.
Yeah, which I like blinked and almost missed that part.
And Owen thinks it's a bomb. Owen has like a PTSD response to it. Once I realized what was going on, but there was one moment where he was huffing and puffing in the ER. I was like, Owen, what are you doing? And then I was like, oh, he's having like he's having tunnel vision and he keeps being like, it was a bomb. And Teddy's like, it wasn't a bomb.
Right.
He ends up being okay though.
Yeah, it's like seeing Megan snaps him out of it or something.
I'm not really sure. How we got there?
Like, no, because Teddy came and found him. But there was no, like, conversation about that. I wonder if they'll deal with it in... No, because then it was Thanksgiving next episode. I appreciated, though, that, like, the only... Again, like, he says to Megan, you're not alone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That was, like, nice, I guess.
Sure. Are Carmack and Megan...
Didn't it seem like that?
Is Megan wearing a wig?
Absolutely. What's her real name?
I don't know, but she has to be wearing a
wig. She's in the Megan and Harry documentary. She's apparently friends with Meghan Markle.
She is?
She was all up in that documentary.
I don't remember her. Probably because she's wearing a wig.
Yeah, she has darker, straighter hair. That is for sure a wig.
Okay.
It's a wild wig.
It's a really wild wig.
Yeah.
It looks very much like a wig.
It's from the same place where Joe got her first wig.
Yeah. I was like, I said to John, is she wearing a wig? And he said, well, no, because her hair is frizzy. I was like, a wig can be frizzy, John. Like, look at the hair a lot. It's like.
Has he not seen like House of the Dragon? Those are all wigs. Wig work is.
Does he not understand wigs?
Wig work can be beautiful.
Yeah.
And messy.
Legolas. Oh. That was in Orlando Bloom's hair. John.
Okay, it took me a really long time to realize, though, that most people are wearing wigs. Like, I always thought.
In real life or in movies?
No, in movies. Like, I always thought actresses, I'm like, wow, she had to cut her hair for that role. Or, like, she had to dye her hair bleach blonde. And, like, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But I think if you have amazing hair, they work with your hair. But, like, most of us don't. And so I think most people are wearing wigs.
Cher, we don't even know what her real hair is. She's probably bald.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Okay. I always wonder. My favorite Peloton instructor, Robin Arzone, is always wearing these like crazy amazing braids. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, I want to know, because every day it's like different lengths and styles and it's beautiful and seamless and like incredible. And I want to know A, how long that takes. And B, I want to know, I'm just curious how long her hair is to begin with. Is it long? Is it short? Is it all a wig?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's great work if it is.
I think I'm going to start wearing wigs.
I actually wish they'd become cheaper and because like, can you imagine? It would solve all of my hair problems.
You could just wear.
Because I would have short hair and then just wear long wigs when I want long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bree's drinking.
Sorry. I know someone's mom who wore wigs for a long time. It was, but then it became like a bedroom thing.
Wow, it became that.
Yeah, like at first it was like, I'm going to wear this wig out. And then it became like, I'm going to wear this wig in the bedroom.
That's funny.
It's weird.
I have like a great, great aunt. Or I don't know how she's related
to me.
Who
wears wigs in the bedroom?
I didn't know wore a wig until my grandma was like, that's not her real hair. And I was like, what?
Okay, this is a really funny story from my family that I was not alive for. My mom was a little kid. And I guess back in the day, they wore these, her mom and her mom's twin sister wore what were called wiglets. So they were like things that it wasn't a full wig, but it was like almost like extensions you would put like on top of your head for like fuller hair or whatever. And they went to this cabin camping and there was a like folding bed and the bed was folded. And it was either grandma or my great aunt put their wiglet on top of it. And the kids came in and thought that the mom
was folded inside of it.
Smashed
inside. Shocking.
But it was just the wiglet.
Just the wiglet. I bet that's like a topper.
Yeah.
People, you can get those. I have a friend from high school or an acquaintance that does those for people. It's kind of amazing. It's called, her thing is like Rachel's transformational whatever.
Oh, yeah. Here, look it. That's like a wiglet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I think it was like.
For thinning.
But I don't know if it was back in the day.
Volume.
It was for volume. Yeah. They weren't using it for thinning hair. They were like young and in their like 30s and 40s. They were just. It was.
I love that.
Anyway.
That you know what? Your mom probably thinks we need wiglets. She's probably like, why haven't you used one yet? Okay. What about. I mean, I have nothing to say about the Weber method other than it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, and I think you're right that something bad does end up. I think it's with Levi. Remember? Because he ends up being home and his mom falls down the stairs.
Right.
So I think like.
He stops operating for a while.
Yeah, because something happens within the surgery.
Yeah, there's all that blood.
Yeah.
Remember? There's like blood all over the floor. Oh, poor Levi.
I know.
I actually like him.
Yeah, I love
Levi. He's
like
currently one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
The whole Noah, Roy, the VA thing. I feel like Owen is so overstepping. How he's just like, hey, I just met you, but I'm taking over your friend's work. And like, I'm going to be doing this. I feel so sad for Noah, like that he's just so tired.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when you're that tired, sometimes it's like you don't have it in you to fix the system.
Yep.
You just want to be with your kid and your wife and feel bad for the wife too. That moment with Bailey was really nice, I guess.
Yeah, that was interesting. I thought fall Bailey apart. Was nice, but also it felt weird to me that she was like, you get to fall apart and then just shut the door on her. I was like, shouldn't she like be helping her in some way?
Also her saying like, you deserve to feel this. I'm like, no one wants to feel that.
Yeah, no.
Deserve like, felt like the wrong word.
Right, like...
Or it's necessary you feel this. If you like, you're gonna feel it at some point.
Yeah, like
I get what she was doing,
but it just felt odd that she was like, feel super emotional.
See you later. And I'll see you in 20.
Gonna shut the door, and you can just hear her wailing behind the door, and Bailey's just like, yes.
Well, then the one I did write down one line that really fucking wrecked me. So Bailey does that. Bailey's feeling sad because Bailey's thinking about, wow, I just lost my parents parent. This too. And then Richard says, it's hard to lose a parent at any age. It's a specific pain.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was insightful. Yeah. I don't know.
I wanted to say something about Owen going back to
him. Yes. Yes.
I have a note saying Owen is losing his religion in the supply closet.
Losing my religion.
He was like losing. But
that's a name of a.
By R.E.M.
No, but also it's an iconic Grey's episode, Losing My Religion.
You're right.
They always mention it. I'm going to look it up. Keep talking.
Yeah, you look that up. I think about the Owen thing and with the veterans, he is such a savior complex. He's like talking to Teddy at one point and he's like saying like, I'm going to help all the veterans. Like, yeah. Owen, you can't. You right. can't help. Like, the system is fucked. Like, the VA is fucked.
Right.
You know, and like, yes, we need to fight, but you as one single individual are not going to change this. And right. that is the issue I have with Owen. It's like, I'm going to take this all on myself and create change. And it's like, no.
Change takes a while.
Yeah, you're
little
not.
Little steps. Yeah, I agree with you. Losing My Religion is the episode when Denny dies.
Oh.
The finale.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. What about, how do you feel about Addison still being there in that episode? The first one. Like, she only interacted with Amelia for the whole episode.
Uh-huh.
Which I guess they have a history. I felt really not much until that last scene when she's leaving in the elevator.
Yeah.
And she says, like, look at you, Amelia, like, all grown up, whatever. That felt very like, oh, wow, we've come so far.
Right.
But
right.
their whole conversation about COVID and how they dealt, I didn't know. I was like, okay, Addison, I drink wine quite a bit, too. Let's not shit on ourselves. I felt attacked.
She was like, I was like a swollen tick.
Yeah, I was like, excuse me. Excuse me. Also, she references, so she is married to Jake.
Right. And they have their son.
Is Jake, I haven't watched it in so long. Is Jake the guy,
is Jake the guy from Miss Congeniality?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, is Jake the guy that looks like the guy from Miss Congeniality?
No, he is from Miss Congeniality.
And like a crime show.
Isn't he, right?
And isn't he a crime show also?
Yeah.
Like,
what's his name?
Jake Private Practice. Don't get mad at us.
Benjamin Pratt?
Benjamin Bratt.
Bratt.
Not Platt. He's in Private Practice. Is that the only thing he's on? No way. Or no, what's the show that I'm thinking of him? Movies and TV shows. Wow, he's aged and he still looks good.
Well, he's in Coco.
He's also in Poker Face. Great new show.
Law and Order.
Law and Order. Okay, yes. I'm picturing him in Law and Order.
He's in Modern Family, Private Practice.
He wasn't in like season one of Private Practice.
No,
no. Okay, that's what I thought. He is Miss Congeniality's the person.
Yeah, he is. He's in Despicable Me also.
Okay, that makes sense.
He's in Despicable Me. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, I got it. Despicable Me.
In Perfect. Despicable Me too.
Now I know who we're talking about.
Looking at
what is Poker Face?
That's a new show with the girl from
Natasha.
Yeah, Leon. It's funny. It's kind of like a episodic show, like how CSI or Law and Order is.
Yeah.
But her skill is she can tell when people are. She's like a human lie detector.
Oh.
So she kind of she's running away from these people, but she kind of ends up solving crimes.
Interesting.
Because people just she knows if they're lying or not. It's really good.
Okay.
And it's like solving crimes without cops or anyone. Like she just gets stuck in these situations and then has to help people.
Okay.
I really like it.
Is it on Netflix?
No, it's on HBO Max, Apple TV, Peacock. It's on Peacock.
Something.
I had to go through them all. There's too many.
I know.
I have them all, but there's too many.
I get it. Have you started watching the new season of Ted Lasso?
I've not even seen.
What?
I know.
You've not seen any Ted Lasso?
No, because I feel, for some reason, I have to be in the mood to start a show.
Yeah.
That, I know, hear me out. Like, that I like, so like, for example, Shrinking, I'd read a bunch of interviews about it and like listen to podcasts. And I was like, oh, I got to watch that. I feel like I missed when Ted Lasso was like thrown into the world.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, I don't know. I know I'm going to love it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
You also have to watch the fourth season and final of Succession started last night.
Yeah, I know. I told Jake, I was like, what's beeping?
My coffee maker.
Oh, I told Jake, I said, why don't we start Succession tonight? Because everyone else will be watching it. And then we just didn't.
Mm, you gotta.
No, I know. I'm feeling very upset. And there's no way I'm going to watch it before the finale.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. There's three seasons. There's probably
that's
like
not that many.
Eight episodes.
Oh,
in
I
each.
Could absolutely do that. But I think I tried to watch it once, but I was distracted.
You can't be distracted.
I know,
in that
and that's
show.
The problem. I like to multitask.
And half of the time, you're going to be like, I don't understand what's going on, but then it will kind of round out in the episode. Because sometimes they're talking words that like billionaires use,
right.
And I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about. It's a quick, but you'll get there. Like this new episode, the season four
premiere.
There was a part where I was like, what is even going on? But then by the end, I was like, oh, I get what they're trying to do.
Okay,
so you just gotta wade through it.
That's me in Yellowstone when they're talking about like land grants and like I'm like I have no idea.
Yeah, who's in that
about.
Again?
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, dude.
Have
the
you
Guardian.
Not watched Yellowstone yet?
No.
Oh,
John won't watch it with me.
It's so good.
I need to watch it on my. This is how bad these episodes of Grey's are that we were literally talking about any other show that we can, which I'm fine with.
Also, on another, have you been watching on TikTok? I think I sent you her Alana. Has from Broad City, Alana has a TikTok now, and she is so funny.
I haven't been, I don't follow anyone.
I don't
TikTok.
Either, but she came up for me, and then I just went to her thing and watched all of her videos.
Okay, she's, you don't follow people?
I mean, I do, but I don't ever look at that page.
Yeah, like sometimes there are some people, some wacky people
well,
that I wish
the people
I
that would
followed.
Come up for you but to ask you to follow, you've got some strange choices.
Yeah,
I was looking through our messages the other day and got. Bombarded by that man swimming who filmed his face that you said and he gives me nightmares.
Yeah you're welcome.
Bree's TikTok algorithm is
it's
truly wild.
Like I don't understand how these
look
people-
up what's the saxophone person's name.
Oh, Mary Saxophone.
Mary Saxophone. And
I mean,
then just see where it takes you.
Yeah, it might you'll go.
How's that one guy doing who's like making
I have that song stuck in my head every day. Every single
day.
The
song he sings?
Yeah. And now I can't think of how it goes. But he showed up on my feed last night and it was all these people out in a field and they're like, we're filming Darkness. And so,
oh, yeah, Darkness.
Yeah. So there's he's still showing up. Yeah.
Good to know. Maybe we could do a Darkness podcast.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. I mean, okay. I don't know if I have much else to say.
I don't. Oh, I guess the other thing, like, Farouk is...
Not well.
I did like the scene between Megan and Teddy on Thanksgiving before Farouk, like, goes downhill. I don't know. It felt very sisterly to me.
Yes.
Like, I felt like the two of them were actually acting.
Yeah. I felt that way, too, when they went in and told Megan, like, you're not alone. And Teddy was like it or not,
yeah,
we are your family. Because I feel like they have all been through so much.
Yeah. But when they were kind of talking about, like, Megan and Owen's mom and Teddy being like, I'm avoiding your mom. And, like, that felt really real. And then Megan was like, you have to fight heat for your son. Like, that's just, you have to do that. And then I love how Megan was like, or you can just make Owen do it.
Which
also felt very sisterly. I think that was like the only moment and like Prue that I like.
I liked. Do appreciate, as much as I don't like Megan as a character, her and Owen being siblings does feel real to me.
Yes.
Because they're both a little unlikable.
Yeah.
But like the way they interact with each other feels very true to like siblings.
I would agree.
It was also sad. I just put that together. I didn't realize she tells Teddy you have to fight for your son. And then basically Teddy... It won't give up on the code for Farouk. She's essentially fighting for Megan's son. I felt like, Cormac has such a big role in this storyline.
Yeah. Which he leaves soon, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Oh, there's also a line here. I said, great, good to know Owen has always had anger issues. Used to punch the wall as a kid when he didn't win Monopoly. It's what Megan said. It's like, holy shit.
This checks out.
This is Owen. It's okay, soldier. I'm here now. That's Owen I says also, that.
And I know we've not talked about this at all. Joe's storyline being with OB, there's been all these different types of births that she's been a part of. And like the storyline of the woman who like, and asking to have her tubes tied and like, the husband being like, I wish she'd have known. I wish she'd have told me, blah, blah, blah. Joe gives that whole speech of like, we aren't allowed to whatever. Like, there is truth to that. But the something about the storyline in that aspect just feels too like they're giving me a TED talk or something. Uh-huh. Like, it just, I don't know. I feel like I should like Joe more than I do. Her bedside manner when that woman's having a baby of like, you're going to push this baby out and he's going to change your life and you're going to have unforgettable love.
You're going to smell the top of his head and you're just going to, even though your boyfriend just broke up with you.
Even if that is true, it feels so cheesy to me.
And like disingenuous. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Just like, this is really fucking hard. I also kind of hated how Karina was like, you're the doctor. It's like, Karina, you're fucking here. Let her, you deliver the baby.
Yeah.
This woman is alone.
Like, yeah, when she's like, what would you do next? I'm like, just do it.
Yeah.
If like, I hear, I don't want to go to a teaching hospital.
No.
Also, I'm like, I hope she had a, the thing where you don't feel pain.
Epidural.
Because they were just dilly-dallying, discussing things.
I just like.
Also, when they're like, the baby's shoulder is stuck behind the pelvis bone. My insides literally like went, bleh.
Yeah. I just felt annoyed with Karina. It's like, why don't you just deliver this baby so Joe can, like, Joe's created a...
Right. Relationship.
And then Joe's like, I gotta go now and deliver your baby. I don't know. The whole thing was annoying to me.
Yeah. I was glad that they put gloves on. I always get nervous.
Oh, I think we should just briefly say Myrna comes, who's Levi's mom, and brings Thanksgiving dinner and is like talking to Nico about marrying Levi.
Yeah, which at first that scene was really cute to me. I was like, I love that Nico's going to go spend time with his mom, but then he got freaked out when she's like, are you going to raise the children Jewish? Yeah. Like all these things, which I feel like I'm curious where that goes from here. Like, I think I now know when they break up is when Levi's at home and he tells Nico to leave. Like, he's like, I don't, like, want you here.
Right. Also, Richard has them write down what they're thankful for. Nico wrote toast.
Yeah, okay. Okay, first of all, that I liked that moment. Not the toast, but, like, that Richard had them do that.
Yeah.
I had to rewind because I was like, did he say toast? Who the fuck is thankful for toast?
Like, you can't think of
pizza, any other food.
Any other thing.
Turkey.
You're sitting next to your boyfriend. You're not thankful for them.
Oh, I didn't know we were being sentimental.
Ooh, okay, stop it. He makes me so mad.
I always hate when people just say other people's names.
Yeah,
I'm like thankful, Luna.
I'm thankful for my mom.
Yeah, I'm like, no, be more specific and emotional. That could have been somehow an emotional moment.
No, it wasn't. No. Of course not.
Richard Weber.
That's also, right. I don't know why it annoyed me when Bailey was like, I didn't know she was here.
Yeah,
and was like, hey! I was like, what is going on with Luna? What do you mean you didn't realize she was here? There's a fucking baby here.
She's also cute.
Everything about this show drives me crazy. Now, this season.
Yeah, we should have done this podcast backwards to front.
Yeah.
Because we would have gotten so been like, this was amazing.
Yeah. But it wouldn't have made sense because
I know
we would have started in season 12.
It's wild. Okay.
Actually, that's what we're going to do when people, it's 5 years. So once
we start going backwards,
we'll go backwards and all the storylines will be very confusing. Okay. This title originated from the song With a Little Help from My Friends, originally sung by the Beatles.
It scored 3.91 million viewers.
This is the first time that Catherine appears without Jackson.
Dun, dun, dun. The episode's title originated from the song Bottle Up and Explode, originally sung by Elliot Smith.
It scored 4.75 million viewers.
It marks the directorial debut of Lindsay Cohen, who had been working on the show as a script supervisor since season 8.
Almost the entire main cast from Station 19 crosses over to the episode. Only Daniel Savra, and Boris Kodjo are missing. Who are these people?
This episode's title originated from this. I watched you struggle with that last name for like 5 seconds. I just kept waiting for a dent.
Yeah, me too.
Every Day is a Holiday with You, originally sung by Estero. This episode scored 4.
You're just plowing right through to the next.
Estero. Oh, I don't read it all, do I?
No. This episode. This episode scored 4.12 million viewers.
Sorry, you want to keep going? This episode is directed by Tony. I was trying to get it over with. Phelan, a former writer, producer, director who left the show after the 10th season. Oh my God.
Catherine Fox Award. Clearly, Prue. Luna.
Those kids are cuter than any of Meredith's combined.
Yeah. I guess the children of Grey's
Anatomy. Yeah.
The future generation.
No, because actually Mare's kids annoyed the shit out of
me. Oh, the dance party.
We'll talk about
so
it in post-op. We'll talk about it in post-op.
Okay. No, but really, who are we going to give it to? Prue?
I think Prue.
Yeah, okay. She's cute as hell.
That's why she's getting it. Okay, stick around for post-op. Otherwise,
wait, we have to rate the episode.
No, I can't. It's a zero. It's a two.
It's, yeah. It's like a one to two.
It's so bad.
Yeah, okay. Stick around to hear us talk about Thanksgiving dinner. Don't worry. We won't talk about our favorite sides because we do this like at least every 4 months. We're like, I like this. Well, I don't like potatoes because they fill my stomach and I want other.
When we talk about, like, whenever there's a Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah, we always talk about it.
Wait, Rude, you know my answer.
Because we've talked about it a thousand times.
And that's not how I phrase it. I say they're a waste of space.
So, anyway.
And I know they're your favorite.
They're not my favorite. Look, here we are again.
Your favorite isn't potatoes.
No, my favorite is stuffing.
Oh, gluten-free stuff.
Or dressing. Yeah, but the old one.
Oh, before it was
gluten-free.
Before it was, yeah. R.I.P.
Back in the day.
R.I.P. the gluten. All right.
All right. Well, anyway, time of death is 1309.
Be